trust God, it's amazing. Life is just a marathon, so pace it. Brush pain, that thing's how you make demons. Life ain't gotta be hard, just keep it basic. Welcome, everybody, to Fort Meade Declassified. I am Chad Jones, and today we are going to talk fireworks and traffic plan and our annual red, white, and blue celebration. I'm here today with our new DES, Major Joseph Smith. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. It's been it's a great opportunity.
Outstanding. You know, when I met you, we were sitting out walking. Hey, you're a fantastic gentleman, but we were doing some step over in housing. And I was sitting with Brittany over at housing, and I said, you know, Major Smith is awesome, but have you ever had to picture or describe what a Joe Smith would look like? I'm like, there it is, right there.
It's a fake name, so I for my own protection.
Yeah. And then, of course, across the table from me is one of my, we were just talking, what probably my longest serving friend here at Fort Meade from DFMWR, Mrs. Wendy Gibbs. How are you, ma'am?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing great. But red, white, and blue. How many of these have you done, Wendy?
Oh, my first one was in 2011. It was a little bit larger scale. We used to do a multiple day event.
Yeah.
So we have since scaled it down to a 1 day event. So they're much easier. So we don't have to turn the event over and clean and get it back for the crowd the second day. So it's much easier. We still have the same stuff going on, but it's just a 1 day or so.
No
more carnies. Those are a lot of work. And they cost a lot of money.
Incredible, right? Yeah, because we used to, so Major Smith, we used to have the parade field, as you've seen in the layout, but we used to have along the whole thing, like the spinning wheels and all these other rides.
Zip lines, bouncies.
Now, is this a
little trackless train?
One of the many things that COVID has reduced, or is it just over time?
Yes, I think part of it is COVID, not because of COVID, but just because of the impact that COVID had on DFMWR financially. You know, we're still recovering from that. That had a big impact on the organization financially. So trying to streamline it and make some cuts where we can. And that way the consumer, the customer, our service members don't have to absorb those costs because we can no longer offer it for free. So there are costs associated with it.
Last year was awesome, and this year's event, so when is this year's event scheduled for?
Friday, June 28th. We're going to do a soft kickoff at 4 p.m., and then at 6 p.m., that's when we're going to open the installation for the entire community to come enjoy. So we do a little soft opening with, you know, people living on the installation. They come get set up, and people typically bring, you know, lawn chairs, blankets, small little canopies. They come set up ahead of time, get a nice prime location for, you know, the DJ, a nice viewing setup for the fireworks, which is really an impressive show.
Fireworks scheduled to go off around 9-ish?
9:30.
Okay.
And they are old school firing. they hand light instead of an electric charge. So it takes about 30 minutes, but it's a really good show. It's the same company that we've used probably for the last 5 years. They're very good. They do put on a great show. So no need to change up. They're very good, very responsive, and community seems to really like the show. So
yeah, we had about 6,000 people last year. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, since we opened back up from COVID, the numbers have been increasing each year. Each year that we've gotten more. So I'm thinking anywhere from, you know, it could be 5 to 10. And, you know, of course, a lot of it has to do with the weather. You know, if it's too hot, they don't come out until probably right before the fireworks, the sun comes down. But if the weather's not too, too bad, they'll come out and set up and then enjoy the other festivities with the, you know, the array of the food trucks. We have a DJ, and we also have a community, MWR community table where we have sponsors there. Other directorates, MWR activities that set up tables, sponsors. Some of our community partners like to set up an information booth, letting the community know. Yeah, letting the community know about everything that they do for us. military, and how we partner with them on many of many other programs and activities on the installation.
One of the reasons why we got you here, Major Smith, bringing on that many people onto the installation can be a challenge from a security perspective, but what is the access going to look like?
So it can, but it's not unlike, you know, everything that our security professionals are doing every day here on Fort Meade. But this being one of the biggest events that we do allow non-DOD cardholders access to the installation. So it will be controlled, and there are procedures in place. So if you are a non-DOD cardholder and you'd like to come to the event, you'll have to use the gate on MAPES in 175 or access control point 4. Those will open at 1800, like Wendy said, and we'll have barricades in place that will flow traffic in. Through that MAPES 175, you'll turn right on Rose Street, and then it'll be directed to park behind the post exchange. You'll leave your vehicle there, and you'll be able to walk down to the event. And it's not that big of a walk at all, and especially the weather's going to cooperate. It's going to be beautiful, sunny 75. So
when you go through, and I know with Colonel Sapp, this is a big deal in regards to, it's always safety first. As you go through and look at this many people coming on, it's not just maintaining the safety of the installation, but also during the event. I mean, you guys are, this is a big day for DES and security as a whole. Busy day for you all, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There'll be a presence out there.
So it's, you know, we're not doing this alone. We have a lot of community partners that'll help us. So we have the military police, the civilian police, the guards, the firefighters will be there, medical personnel, and then a very large number of volunteers from Fort Meade that are coming and help out throughout this event. So we'll have a police presence there and secure and make sure everybody is safe throughout the event. But if anybody needs any help at all, we'll have various booths and tables set up that can provide any assistance that you might need.
This used to be a 4th of July celebration. Now we do it a week before 4th of July. Two questions I get asked all the time. I'll get to the first one is, why are we not doing it on the 4th of July anymore?
It's just our way of kicking off the summer. So we call it Red, White, and Blue. We changed the name. It kind of kicks the summer off for the entire community. Kids are getting out of school. People are getting ready to travel. Summer is the biggest time for PCSing, ETSing, summer travel. It's just our way of kicking off the summer, including the entire community in it. Also, people like to leave and go travel on 4th of July and go see family and do barbecues. So, you know, now you're going to get to celebrate with your military family here and then go travel and go see your family back in another state, perhaps.
People used to go off to like DC. Have you done like DC for 4th of July?
I have not, no.
I've worked
it. That's a pain.
I worked it when I was at Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall. We would watch the fireworks. Our community would watch them off of the lawn. And it was an opportunity for us to sell drinks and trinkets and glow sticks and stuff for the kids. But it's a very nice show. But in the area, I think ours is not as complex and large, but it's pretty good for this area. I think
we're so dang close to the fireworks. I know that's like you can hear the reverberations from where we're sitting. And we actually have, you go to some of these larger places, once you're there, you have to be there. Here you can actually leave. You got porta pots. We do have areas up and around where you can actually have a little bit of space to walk through, which seems to be comforting. You mentioned weather. So one thing that happens at least every other year is we have some kind of weather system, but it does not cancel the show. So what plans do we have in place to make sure there is a brief thunderstorm or something like that to where we can make sure that, hey, we got a place for you to be safe, but then you do not, you know, the show will go on more than likely.
We have some shelters where we get people. If we have a storm that's coming in, which is closely monitored, we have it monitored on the field and on site. So we know when a storm cell's coming and we pretty much know when it's going to hit. Basically, we have our DJ or our mobile command. We have our military police. Whoever is on the field at that time, we do get them to shelter in the buildings, in our post theater, which we have available, and our Smallwood Hall. And also people will go shelter in their vehicles as well, just to get out of it, because typically those types of storms that we get in this area in the summer are very quick. They're fast moving, they're quick. And once they're gone for the rest of the day. And we have, last year it hit right at 4 o'clock, which was not a bad time to hit because we didn't have a ton of people to have to clear and get to safety, but it's a big team effort. We have all of the DES and all the volunteers, all of the MWR staff and the entire directorate on the field helping out and getting people to safety. So we have a good plan in place. And like I said, it doesn't hamper the event. Everything's dried off in 30 minutes and the heat's back. Right. So we're ready to go.
Great. So we're going to take a quick break right now. And then once we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how people can get traveling on post on June 28th is always a fun day for Red, White, and Blue. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, we're going to take a quick break so that Chuck Yang can give us our command information segment. Off to you, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck Yang here. Celebrated in June in the United States and elsewhere around the world, Pride Month commemorates years of struggle for civil rights and ongoing pursuit of equal justice under the law for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community, as well as the accomplishment of LGBTQ individuals. On Fort Meade, hosted by 704th MI Brigade, Garrison will be celebrating the Pride Month on 26 June, 11:30 at Club Meade. Please join us as we celebrate LGBTQIA service members showcasing a diverse panel of military members from several branches and civilians. That's it for this week. And now, back to the conversation.
Okay, we are back to Fort Meade Declassified. Here with Major Joe Smith, our DES, and Mrs. Wendy Gibbs from DFMWR. So, Major Smith, I sent you an email yesterday. We got our Facebook town hall talking today. And one of the issues that came up was for residents who live here, especially in the Heritage Park region, and it's a work day, so they're coming home from work and we've got roads closed off. How can individuals get to their homes after they're coming home from work? And then we'll talk about our exit plan for once the fireworks are over. But coming home from work, you live in Heritage Park, it's 4:20, roads are closed. How should they get home for that day?
That is a great question. And so this might come as a surprise, but Fort Meade is not very big. And so we are naturally already restricted on our roads that we have and the 69,000 people that will be at work that day, no matter what. So we fully acknowledge that putting barricades in place to secure this event does add a little more friction on somebody's daily commute. But we have thought about this, and there is routes to access any housing area if you live on post, and you will have the ability to leave work. It just might not be your typical path. For example, you know, if you live in Heritage Park, like we talked, and you're trying to get home, you will be able to come up Mapes all the way up where it's blocked off at Cooper, and you could probably turn on Leonardwood Drive, travel that all the way down to Llewellyn and go over and take that towards the east and north up into Heritage Park. If you're leaving work that day and you're not attending the event, which I discourage, I think you should come stay at the event. But if you don't want to come to the event, you'll probably have to leave out of Rockenbach or Mapes 32, depending on what time you leave, because Mapes 175 will be strictly for inbound traffic for non-DOD cardholders. So.
And Mapes 32 and Rockenbach, those hours will be adjusted during Red, White, and Blue so that people will be able to use those gates.
Yeah, so
during the
they
event.
Will remain open for the duration of the event, and we'll keep those open until we've completely pulled everyone off of the installation after the fireworks and then allow them to come back on if they need to. So they'll be open until about probably 2300. Depending on the traffic plan.
If you're coming on to the fort from work and you live over in Midway Commons, Rockenbach will be fine. But if you're living over in Heritage Park, you need to enter through one of the Mapes gates, or is it Mapes West specifically?
Yes, it is. I mean, as the installation's, you know, bifurcated by Mapes essentially. So if you do live on that northern side and you're coming home from work, come in through Rockenbach, you'll be able to access Potomac Place or anything up there. And if you do live on one of the southern half in Heritage Park, yes, come in through Mapes 32.
After we have a fantastic fireworks show and driving off post, how will people get off?
So I think most importantly, follow the signs and then listen to the people that are going to be directing traffic. So like that's the first thing. If you're confused, someone's going to tell you where to go. If you are a non-DOD card holder and you are parked up in the PX parking lot, that's probably the easiest one. You'll be directed. You'll come out right just as you came in on off of Rose Street, and you'll exit out on the MAPES 175, and you can go back to your place of residence. If you are in any of the other general parking areas for DOD cardholders, whether it's along Cooper, near Dissa, or on the southern side, off of Leonard Wood or Llewellyn, unless you live right there, you'll most likely have to exit the installation out MAPES 32 and then circle back up around and come into Rockenbach if you do live on that north side of the installation. That might not make sense to you at the time, but as we're trying to push traffic out, it just makes sense to pull everybody else on, clear the area. We can remove those barricades and then allow you to come back in and go to your place of residence.
Have an authorized ID.
Yes,
that's because a great it will point. Not be open yeah. access right. at 11 o'clock right. at night.
So once the installation event is closed, you will have to have your common access card to re-enter into the installation. So have a plan to get back on once the event's over.
So June 28th, 4 to 6 is for basically Fort Meade community members, correct? So you can go in, hop in the food lines first and...
Set up, set your area up.
What's the best place to watch fireworks on the parade field?
Well, if it was me setting up, I would steer clear from the immediate side where the food truck vendors are, because the lines do get rather long and they kind of impede on anybody that's sitting in that area. So it gets pretty tight. We also have the bowling center that will be serving beer and wine coolers on the right in that area as well. It gets kind of crowded. So if it were me, I think the best areas are in the open field, just out in the open field facing Constitution Park. You're set up, you're out there and you got plenty of room. Kids come, they play Frisbee, they play catch, run around.
You mentioned that they're where they're being fired off from. When they pack up, if the community hears a firework blast, what was it, a couple years ago where they found a couple of fire, they had to basically set off some fireworks at like midnight because they had not set them off yet, or?
Yeah, I think what happened was is when they were clearing the tubes that they load those in, they had noticed that two of them hadn't been fired. In order for them to go back home and load up their truck, they have to fire them or they have to have a police escort. So finding a police escort at midnight to cross the Bay Bridge to go on to their next show was pretty unlikely. So they fired it. Plan in place, same company. Our fire chief has already spoken with them, coordinated with them that if it does happen that, you know, make sure that we're notified ahead of time. So that way we can notify everybody. Hey, look, it's okay. It was just needed to be done, but.
So there's some fireworks that pop off an hour or so after the fireworks show is not starting. Everything on the installation is fine. They just got to be able to travel with the fireworks in place. Speaking of fireworks, people cannot bring their own fireworks to the event,
that, correct? That is correct. Despite it being 4th of July and people enjoying setting off their own, we cannot do that on Fort Meade.
Does that include in the neighborhoods, like on 4th of July day, people should not be shooting off fireworks on
that's
post?
That's correct, yes. So you cannot shoot fireworks on post. There are in the local community various places to watch, so I'd encourage you to do that. And then any non-DOD cardholders that are entering the installation, you know, all other rules are in place. So no firearms, no drugs, including marijuana, you know, no knives. So we want to keep it a safe event for everybody. So leave all that at home and then enjoy the fireworks display that'll be put on for you for free.
Outstanding. Is there anything that they cannot bring out on the parade field, Wendy, in regards to food will be provided? But I know, I mean, like we pack a picnic.
It's not a problem for people to pack their own picnic. We just ask that they don't bring glass bottles, bring cans, glass bottles, because that parade field is a multi-purpose field that gets used for changes of commands and ceremonies. And we don't want to be picking up glass everywhere. Plus, we don't want a child to get cut. So you can bring your own food, bring your own coolers. That's fine. It's not an issue. It will be provided. There's plenty of food trucks there. Please don't bring barbecues, little tiny grills. Can't do that on the parade field.
Pets?
Well, it's strongly discouraged. We have working animals there. We have kids there. We have people who aren't. And also fireworks. It's loud. Animals don't tend to like those things. So if you can, leave them at home. But people sometimes do bring them anyways. It does happen. We don't kick them off, but we do strongly discourage it. And no sparklers. Those are fireworks. Those are considered fireworks. A lot of times people bring sparklers and they give them to their kids and they run around with them. And that's a no-no.
And there, I forgot, there's an ATM. Like, cash or is everybody taking card?
Most of the vendors take cards, and we do have an ATM that will be on the field. Part of our commercial sponsorship is Navy Federal Credit Union provides a ATM on the field. So
nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can get cash there, bring cash, and most of the vendors do take a card.
Well, Wendy, Major Smith, thank you very much for sitting down with us. Look forward to talking to you all again. We'll all be on the parade field. What time is it again, Wendy?
Starts at 4, and for the community, they will be able to gain access to the installation at 1800 hours.
Look forward to seeing hopefully a lot of you out here listening on the 28th. And again, thank you very much. But for now, this is the wrap on this edition of Fort Meade Declassified. Talk to you soon. Gorgeous God, it's amazing. It's amazing. Life is just a marathon, so pace is okay. Brush pain, that thing's how you make that.